Hello, you're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, and I'm Charlotte Kniep. Have you ever thought about what the Savior looks like, or what the different scenes and stories from his life might have looked like? Many of us have an idea in our mind, but local sculptor Angela Johnson has actually put those images and those scenes into beautiful bronze statues, and her work has been seen at LDS temples and visitor centers and other venues all over the country, and it's absolutely magnificent in person. And Angela joins us on the phone today to talk about the wonderful work that she does. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So how did you first get introduced into the world of sculpting?
Well, Charlotte, that's a very interesting question, seeing as it was a very intense epiphany. And I don't use that word very often, but in this case, epiphany really does fit the situation. For 25 years, I was focused on becoming an opera prima donna at the Metropolitan Opera. And in my late 30s, I sat down at my piano to begin another 4 to 5 hour vocal session with developing all of my arias and vocal work. And as I sat down that morning, an intense impression came to me whereas it was communicated to me that I would never accomplish my ultimate vocal goals. And the strength and intensity of this knowledge was not negotiable. And the scaffolding that I had built inside my soul of you can accomplish anything you put your mind to began to collapse around my feet, and I didn't have the strength to prop it up. So I shut the lid to my piano. I went to the art store. I bought a block of water-based clay, one sculpting tool. And 4 hours later, there was a portrait bust of a little girl on my kitchen table. That's how I was introduced into the world of sculpting.
So very, very self-taught, and it sounds like it was a spiritual journey to find
very
that
much,
calling.
Very much a spiritual journey, completely unexpected. I did not ponder this. I didn't think about it. It was as though there was an override that came into my heart, and the whole experience took about 15 minutes to drive to the store, get the clay, drive home, and when I pulled that plastic down off the clay and my hands went into the clay, all the pain from my heart was gone. And so that's within the scope of a morning. And it wasn't a week, it wasn't a month or years, it was in the scope of one morning. And it was like that there was an intelligence in my hands that I'd never felt before. And I was so charmed with it. It was like the death of one dream gave birth to this other dream. And at that time, there was not even any concept whatsoever of one day sculpting the Savior. Absolutely not. It was, oh my, look at this. My hands know what to do. How do they know what to do? I don't even care. I'm so glad they know what to do because mm-hmm. that my hands went into the clay and took handfuls of that water-based clay. And I just knew instantly that I wanted to do a portrait bust of a little girl. And it was actually an amazing, here we go back to the word epiphany, amazing feeling like I had come home. And so it was really incredible.
Wow. And then what led you to want to create images of the Savior's life?
Okay, so from the time that I started sculpting, a year later I did my first bronze commission, and then I did about 12 other private commissions, one for Arizona State University, one for a nonprofit that works with India, private commissions. But then in 2003... I felt this intense yearning that said, okay, Heavenly Father, I know this gift is from you, but what do you want me to do with it? And then through the prayer, that is what was given to me, was the concept of a sculpture garden depicting the teachings and miracles of Jesus Christ. So if you just back up probably a couple of years, I was teaching voice lessons, and a voice student, the young man, he said to me, as he was seeing my statues, he says, well, why don't you sculpt Jesus? And I kind of laughed and I said, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that.
It's kind of a daunting task.
And famous last words, it was too late. The seed had already been planted. And so it kept churning around inside of my soul, this desire, because I've always loved the Savior since I was a little girl. I have always been fascinated by the scriptures, by the stories of Jesus. And then in 2003, when that answer was given to me, that concept was given to me as an answer to my prayers, I just said, wow, this is what I'm going to do. Because along with the concept was given not only the assurance that I should do it, it was, you are going to do it. Hmm. And there's a big difference into those two perspectives. And the perspective that I was given was, it will be a reality. And recently I was asked by my grandson if when the garden was completed, did I feel a lot of joy? And I thought about that a minute. I said, I probably felt more joy when I was given the concept the first time, because I was so innocent, I had no idea how hard it was going to be.
Right.
It's been really true. It's been a very, very grueling 13, almost 14-year journey.
And how has this work brought you closer to the Savior, and how has it increased your testimony and your faith in Him?
I really appreciate you asking that question. It's been... Okay, so the greatest compliment that I've ever received is my Heavenly Father's understanding of me, that when He gave me the concept to do this, He knew I could do it, and He knew I was going to do it. So when I felt physically weak, when I had questions on where the funding was going to come from, when I was exhausted beyond measure, for example, it took me an entire year to refine "It Is I, Be Not Afraid," the depiction of Christ walking on the water, I would lean on His faith, on His knowledge of me. My faith was His knowledge. And so that relationship, but the thing that Charlotte, I want to back up for a minute and say, is that when people see the statues and they hear my story and they think, how is this possible that this can happen to a person? And that what's important for me is to help individuals realize that God's hand is moving in their lives, and He knows them just as much as He knows me. And it was my willingness, my absolute conviction that I would do this, and I would take every open door that He gave to me, and I would go through it, and I would maximize it. And for step by step, through all of these years, that in all of the people that segued into the situation, this was how it happened. But back to your question, how did it strengthen my relationship with Him? It's because I felt known by God.
And what's your favorite piece that you have been able to produce?
Okay, that's one of the most frequently asked questions. People want to know what's one of my favorites. And I said, if you tell me which child is your favorite, I will tell you which statue is my favorite.
Right.
And they go, oh, that's not fair. And I say, well, I understand that every statue touches my heart in a very deep, unique way, which is the reason why I created it in the first place.
Wonderful. Well, I actually got the opportunity as a missionary in Kirtland several years ago to see some of your sculptures that came there on a tour, and I got to learn about them. Yeah, I've admired your work for years, and I got to learn about them and give tours and incorporate them into the themes and the concepts of the historic sites of Kirtland, and it was a real privilege. And I can tell you that people from many different walks of life, many faiths, many backgrounds were extremely touched by your work. So thank you.
Well, I do know that when they were at Kirtland, an editor of a newspaper, I think from Cincinnati, called me, who happened to be Catholic. She had gone down and seen that exhibit. And she said she was so just aglow with how beautiful they all were. And she said, I recognize what she called the first vision was the roots of Mormonism.
Uh-huh.
But she said, all the rest of the sculptures are our miracles. and just really loved to own them. And I said, yes, and isn't that great? Because it shows what we have in common. And it was a really nice phone interview. And I loved the opportunity to have a Christian discussion with an individual from another Christian denomination. It was really beautiful.
And that's what your work does. I mean, I've seen it in person, and I really do feel like it moves people enough to build bridges between different faiths.
You said that perfectly. I'm going to quote you. I'm going to write that down. Quote Charlotte. And because the desire was to build bridges. And so with the beauty, the elegance, the majesty, the detail, all of it is to say building the bridge of the community of Christ. And it goes through every culture, every religion. But the thing that it declares, that this art declares, is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And much more than a moral teacher, he is the Son of God. And who was crucified and then resurrected 3 days later and gives us this hope of eternal life, which is the ultimate bridge, is that Jesus Christ provides that bridge for us to return back to a Father in heaven. And that, to me, is one of the glorious power of the art.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you live in Utah, Angela's beautiful artwork right now is on display at Thanksgiving Point. And we just want to thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today on our show.
Thank you.
We're going to close our episode today with a quote from LDS leader, Elder Richard C. Edgley. And he said, "Do our outward devotions translate into a Christ-like life? It is not enough that we just talk of Christ, preach of Christ, or even prophesy of Christ. We must live of Christ. For it is by our own personal, everyday living that the Savior will determine whether we are one of his true disciples, a friend." Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.